good morning from our living room to your living room. We're just so glad you're able to join us this morning. We're going to be doing the worship since we're trying to stay together as a family and not get out. Well, our family is going to do worship today, and Tammy, you have some thoughts.
Well, hey, if there's any kids out there, if you've got some bongos at home, or maybe you've got some maracas, or maybe even just a little cup and a spoon, we want you to join in with us. We want you to be a part of our worship service as a family.
Amen. So just join us as we sing and worship the Lord today. Father, we give you praise and thanks and honor. Lord, you are alive and you have caused our lives to be full of your joy and your goodness. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. We just sing this. The greatest day in history. Death is beaten.
Death is beaten. You have rescued
me. Sing it out.
Sing it out. Jesus is alive.
Church together today, we're able to be the church
right.
together. Amen. Well, would you worship him and just tell him this morning, you're here moving in our midst.
Worship you.
you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working.
Share some thoughts with you that are going on and things that are happening. Whether you are aware of it or not, ministry is still going on. We have women's ministry that's still happening. They're meeting on Tuesday mornings, 10 o'clock through Zoom. And I think that's a great opportunity. The guys, men's ministry, are getting together and hanging out together on Wednesday nights at 7. Children's ministry on Sunday. There'll be some ministry for the kids out there on the internet and then on Facebook. And then youth are still getting together. Youth are meeting and getting together and connecting. So celebrate recovery. A lot of our ministries are continuing, even though I know we're in this challenging day of how do we do ministry? Well, this is how we do it. We still share the word of God. We still worship God. We still get together. And we're doing it through Zoom, an online conference calling, and through Facebook, and also just our ministry that you'll see on our webpage. Just want to remind you, be faithful to the Lord in your giving. You can do that online. It would be our easiest way. We don't have to bring people together, which is what we're trying to guard against and why we're doing what we do today. But thank you for being the church and doing everything you're doing. This morning, as I start the message, I want you to know I understand that a lot of people are going through significant change at this time. The social distancing has created its own problems. But beyond that, there are many who are carrying burdens and worries that God never intended for you to bear alone. I pray God will speak to your heart today so you'll know just how much God cares for you. Heavenly Father, this morning, you know where each one is today and the burdens that each one may be carrying. And I pray that you would give them strength and power and rest in their hearts, their spirit, and in their minds today. And we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Today I am starting a brand new message series for the next 4 weeks. Whether we'll be together for all of them or it'll all be video, we'll find out. But it's going to take us through Resurrection Sunday into the week after that. The series is called Hymns of the Church. As a child, I grew up in church and we would sing 3 hymns every Sunday morning. Maybe some of you remember that. In the evening service, we would come back, sing a couple of hymns, but then we would add some worship courses as they came along. But hymns, during the time of me growing up, were foundational in our worship, and mainly because of the theology that was in them. Today, I want to start by looking at the hymn, and I think it's a familiar hymn, called What a Friend We Have in Jesus. In fact, the song starts with the title, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Goes on, all our sins and griefs to bear. And it says, what a privilege, now listen to this, to carry, don't miss this part, everything to God in prayer. That is a theological point you need to know, that you can take everything to God in prayer. In fact, let me launch it, the message, with this scripture from Philippians 4, verse 6, where Paul says this, don't worry, hear that this morning, don't worry about anything. Instead, he says, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Church, what a privilege we have to carry everything to God in prayer. Let me tell you my hope for this message today. My hope is that you will develop a true and a sincere love for the presence of God through prayer. And the best way to do that is to learn how to pray. And learn how to pray consistently and have constant prayer, learning to live every moment in the presence of God. Paul puts it this way in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, never stop praying. Church, God has never left us alone. He's not abandoned us to try to figure out life and all of this on our own. He wants to be a part of our lives. Why? Because God cares about us. He's concerned with what's going on in our lives. But sadly, many people think that prayer is a chore or prayer is an inconvenience because of the time in their lives. And many don't really understand the power of prayer. I want to first give you 3 misconceptions about prayer. The first one is this. People believe prayer is complicated. How many of you grew up thinking you needed to pray with a deep voice like God Almighty? Or maybe you had to have proper English, you know, and if you're going to go to talk to God, maybe you need to talk like King James did. I lovest thou and you are greater than, just all these things that we can find because we heard that or we were taught that. But listen, God does not care how common your language is or how deep you can make your voice box. God is only interested with what's in your heart. Now, I know that others can make prayer seem complicated and even turn prayer into a formula. They say things like this, you have to pray early in the morning. You need to pray for a full hour. You need to pray in your prayer closet. And people who follow the formula end up praying in the closet for an hour in the morning. And there's nothing wrong with that, but what if you need God in the evening? Well, let me remind you what the scripture says in Psalm 145, 18. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Church, God is available and will be near you whenever you call on him and seek him in truth. Now, there's all kinds of ways to pray. People will tell you, you can pray in the Holy Spirit. You can pray scripture. There are those who say, bind the devil. Others who say, loose the power of God. There are those who quote the name of God when they pray. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Rapha, and so on. But could I tell you today, do not let prayer become complicated. Because God just wants to hear you and your heart and your need. So remove the first misconception. Prayer is not complicated. A second misconception is this. People believe prayer is boring. Some people struggle to find importance or significance in prayer. It's kind of like what we see in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus told his disciples to watch and pray. And then he steps away, but when he returns, what did he find his disciples doing? You remember, they were sleeping because prayer puts you to sleep, right? Wrong. Church, that should never be true. Prayer should never bore us. And if you really understood the privilege we have and who we are talking to, I mean, we are talking to the God of creation, the God of all power. If you understood that, prayer would never be dreary or boring. So you need to remove that misconception. A third misconception is this. People believe prayer does not work. They say things like, if prayer works, then why didn't God heal my grandma? If prayer works, then why is my marriage still struggling? If prayer works, then why don't I have a job? So many people misunderstand what prayer is and what prayer does. In fact, if I could tell you this morning, prayer is more about God changing us and helping us align our thoughts and our desires with His will, so we can understand what He is doing. Church, prayer works. 1 John 5:14 says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." Church, God hears us and He answers us when it is in line with His will. In the book of James, it even tells us that we can pray amiss. And the reason is we ask with the wrong motives. But when you pray the will of God, I'm telling you, prayer works and it is powerful. Church, if we can only understand the truth that we're not praying to some distant, uninvolved, uncaring God. We're actually praying to a loving, caring, and personal God who calls us friend. In John 15, Jesus looked at his disciples and told them this, John 15:15, "I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I told you everything the Father told me." Think about this. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the great I Am, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, calls us His friend. If you remember from Scripture, Jesus at one time was even accused by those who hated Him. And this is what they said of Him. "He is a friend to sinners." Church, aren't you glad that Jesus is a friend to sinners? What a friend we have in Jesus. And what a privilege we have to carry everything to Him in prayer. Church, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He loves us and He gives us access to come to Him. The writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 4:16, "So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." Church, what a friend we have in Jesus. I want to take a moment to tell you the story behind this hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." It was written by a man named Joseph Scriven. Joseph was born in Ireland in the early 1800s, and after receiving his bachelor's degree, he quickly established himself as a teacher. And then he fell in love, and he made plans to settle back in his hometown, but tragedy struck. The day before his wedding, his fiancée was thrown from her horse and into water, and she drowned. Overcome with grief, Joseph left Ireland and went to start a new life in Canada, where he encountered the grace of God. Joseph then took a vow of poverty, has sold all his earthly possessions and vowed that he would give his life to the physically handicapped and financially destitute. A couple of years later, he fell in love with Eliza Roche. But just weeks before she was to become his bride, Eliza came down with pneumonia and died. Later, Joseph's mother became ill. And because he had taken a vow of poverty, he didn't have the funds to go back to Ireland. So feeling the need, he had to reach out to her. Joseph wrote her a poem, which happens to be the verses of the hymn we know as "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." It was years later, though, by accident, that a friend who was in his house happened to see the original poem and asked Joseph, "Did you write these words?" And Joseph said, "Well, to be honest, the Lord and I wrote this together." And of course, later, these words became the hymn known as "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." You see, when you kind of know the story of Joseph's life, you can now feel the power of the lyrics that this man wrote. When he asked the question, "Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer." And then he goes on to write, "Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer." And that's what I want us to learn to do this day and every day, to take everything to God in prayer. Because prayer is the way you defeat the devil. Prayer is the way you restore the fallen. Prayer can move mountains. Prayer can calm storms. Prayer is the way you encounter God's presence and how you can know His will and how you can experience His peace. Church, we need to pray. So let me give you three practical thoughts regarding prayer today, and all of them are very easy. First one, simply talk to God like you would talk to a friend. The Apostle Paul, again, in Philippians 4, makes this simple but profound statement in the very first part of verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Here's the key word. Instead, pray about everything. Church, if it's big enough to worry about, then it's big enough to pray about. Continue to hear what Paul goes on to tell us. From a prison cell, he writes, "Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done." So how do you pray to God? First, you just talk to Him and you do not worry, you pray. Prayer doesn't have to be long periods of times. It can be, but what if we can learn the secret of 1 Thessalonians 5:17, where Paul says, "Pray without ceasing." The Greek word actually in this passage actually means to be constantly recurring in your prayer. I know it sounds intimidating to say pray all the time, but it's about our ongoing relationship with God, the God who never leaves us. We should never want to leave Him. And so it's literally about short bursts of very consistent communication with God. Like, "God, thank you for this day. God, direct my steps today. God, give me wisdom to make a difference. God, give me something to say that will be encouraging." It's just a short, consistent burst of communications as if you were talking to a friend. You text your friends with short bursts. Why not text pray with God? "God, I love you. God, I bless you. God, I need you. Jesus, be with me today." Simply talk to God like you would talk to a friend. A second practical thought is this: simply listen to God like you would listen to a friend. At times we need to learn to listen to God. Jesus said in John 10, 27, He said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." Church, Jesus is a good shepherd and we are the sheep of His pasture. Prayer was never meant to be a one-way communication. Prayer was meant to be a two-way conversation between us and God. I like the Old Testament story found in 1 Samuel 3. In verse 10, it says, "The Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. And then God began to talk to Samuel all through his life. Where do we say to God, God, I'm listening. God, I'm listening for your direction in my life. I want to hear what you have to say, Lord, because if you begin to listen, I can promise you God will speak to you. In fact, I can guarantee that if you will open God's word each day, he'll speak to your heart. God's word is living, it's active, and it's powerful. God can also speak through people. Somebody might give you a word of wisdom that comes through the Holy Spirit. God can speak to you maybe through a song. God can speak to you through that still, quiet voice of his Spirit, the Spirit who guides us and guides us in the truth and also convicts us of sin. Church, God is speaking. The question is, are we listening? So simply talk to God like you would talk to a friend. Secondly, simply listen to God like you would listen to a friend. And third, simply thank God like you would thank a friend. Ephesians 5:20 says, always give thanks for everything to our God and Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, no matter what happens, always be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. No matter what happens in life, you and I are to thank God for who he is and for his faithfulness and for his character, for his goodness. Church, we thank him at all times. Amen. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul did from prison. Here again, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, verse 6 and 7 of Philippians 4. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him. Thank him for all he has done. Then, that's what verse 7 begins with. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard you, guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Church, it's God's peace that we need. And it goes beyond our human understanding. And when we pray, God will give us that kind of peace in the middle of our storms and in the middle of our trials. Church, prayer may or may not change your circumstance, but prayer will always change you. The song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. And oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. You see, true peace is not found in the absence of problems. True peace is found in the presence of God. What a friend we have in Jesus, and what a privilege we have to take everything to him in prayer. Right now, in your home, would you just begin to pray and make it simple? Just say, Lord, would you heal? Lord, would you give your peace? Lord, would you save? Lord, would you reconcile? Lord, would you provide? And if you have others around you, maybe you can gather together as family and friends and begin to pray for one another. Heavenly Father, we want to bring everything, all our requests before you today. And we thank you that we can pray with each other. And today, we're going to cast all our cares on you because we know you care for us. And Lord, would you save those who are calling out to you today? Lord, for those who need your saving power, you went to the cross for their forgiveness. And I want to thank you for your salvation today. As they accept you and your love, they just simply say, Lord, I believe in you and I accept you as my Savior. Lord, let all of us hear your voice and give us peace. And we pray in the mighty name of Jesus and for your glory and your will to be done. Amen. What a friend we have in Jesus. And today I just want to close with this simple song, just the first verse. And I just want you to to listen. If you know it, you can just sing along. But it says, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Today, be our everything today. Show us your will, show us your power. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. I pray you have a Jesus-filled life.